and Breaking Faith, a novel of espionage and an American's crisis of conscience in Pakistan. And his latest book is Bear, a novel of...
Hi, I'm Jalal from the Victory Bus Project. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
You were right as always.
As always.
I know you love it when I say that. Tom Rowe, if you're listening, please clip that because I know Ellen would love to hear that played repeatedly on this station.
No, you don't have to do it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I pat myself on the back.
There you go. And she did it literally, folks, for you who missed that. Because we don't have, we're not on TV.
Tune in Tom DiPietro and Ellen Thurston every Thursday on the WGXC Afternoon Show, 4 to 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, Hudson, New York, 90.7 FM. Listeners reported. It's radio for open ears, open heart, open hands, and open mind. We give thanks again to you for supporting WGXC all through the years, and then I hope that you stay with us.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
Service Daily Newscast for Monday, February the 4th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam clings to his job after a failed weekend news conference. Also on the Monday rundown, a look at teen dating, violence, when love becomes abuse, plus the need to do more about childhood poverty. Topping our news, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam clung to his office Sunday amid nearly unanimous calls from his own party to resign over a racist photo in his 1984 yearbook. The Huffington Post reports he went silent after a bizarre 24 hours in which he first admitted he was in the picture and then denied it. The Post adds at a weekend news conference he also acknowledged putting on blackface for a dance contest decades ago and appeared to briefly entertain the notion of doing the Michael Jackson moonwalk for reporters. The chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus declared that Northam still does not understand the seriousness of his actions. While young love often eventually fades, Mary Sherman reports for some teens it can turn violent.
An estimated 1.5 million high school students in the U.S. suffer physical abuse from a dating partner each year. And during Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month in February, multiple groups are working to educate teens about healthy relationships. Melissa Graves with the Domestic Violence and Child Advocacy Center in Cleveland says most abusive relationships involve a partner who wants to control the other.
At the beginning of a new relationship, that jealousy or that protectiveness, it might seem flattering, it might feel okay, but soon, very quickly, it can become suffocating, isolating, and really turn into an abusive dynamic.
While physical attraction may ignite a relationship, Graves explains respect, trust, consent, and open communication are all crucial to keeping it healthy. Teen dating violence can take the forms of physical, sexual, verbal, and emotional abuse. It can lead to depression, alcohol, or drug abuse, negative body image, and poor school performance. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
There's more on the web at loverespect.org. And as legislators in Minnesota's state capitol debate a paid family and medical leave policy, a new report says the state's rural residents face the greatest need for this type of benefit.
Report author Deborah Fitzpatrick at the University of Minnesota says multiple trends in rural Minnesota have created a perfect storm. She says a shortage of child care and elder care providers, combined with long travel times for medical treatment, means rural workers may need time off to meet those needs. At the same time, Fitzpatrick says rural employers are often not in an economic position to help.
When a worker needs to take one of these leaves, the employer is really faced with having to basically tell that worker, we can't help you, you're going to have to figure out how to continue to pay your bills, etc., on your own.
The bill, House File 5, moved forward on a 10-5 vote last week in the House Labor Committee. I'm Roz Brown.
Current federal law guarantees 12 weeks of family and medical leave for most workers, but it is unpaid. Only 14% of Americans have access to paid leave through their employers. California, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and several other states have enacted programs similar to the one that's being proposed now in Minnesota. Protecting the environment is a priority for folks in Idaho. More from Eric Tegedoff.
The 9th Annual Conservation in the West poll from Colorado College surveyed 400 registered voters from both parties in 8 western states, including Idaho, for the first time. 64% of respondents in the Gem State say Congress should emphasize protecting sources of clean air, water, and wildlife habitat, compared with 23% who want to pursue more domestic energy sources. Brian Brooks, head of the Idaho Wildlife Federation, notes 92% of Idahoans believe the outdoor recreation economy is important for the future of the state, an amazing number in our divided political times.
Consistently, we're finding that when it comes to issues of conservation and natural resources and wildlife, we're actually really united. It's probably one of the few things remaining in our country that's bipartisan.
Brooks says many people live in Idaho because of their access to the outdoors. 74% of Idahoans consider themselves outdoor enthusiasts.
And finally, Antoinette Kerr reports nearly 1 million children in North Carolina live in poor or low-income homes. That's according to U.S. Census figures. And for Black History Month, the nonprofit group NC Child just released a series of reports on the longer-term effects of poverty on children.
Research Director Whitney Tucker says family financial security is one of the strongest determinants of a child's success in life. She says they examined the data for those considered poor and also low income, and there is a difference.
It's kids who are living in households that are under 200% of the federal poverty level instead of 100%, which is just absolute poverty. Most research says families now need an income twice the federal poverty level to actually meet their basic needs.
The research shows children of color represent 45% of all North Carolina children, but 65% of those living in poverty. The reports recommend policy changes for better racial and economic integration, including investing more in low-performing schools and public transportation. Tucker says areas of low economic mobility in North Carolina are also those with traditionally high African American populations. To break the cycle of family poverty, she says it's critical to recognize where these pockets of poverty exist and focus resources there.
We have really significant disparities by race and place and age. Young children are more likely to live in poverty than older children.
More on the web at ncchild.org. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, News and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Do you have some news to share with WGXE listeners or a special community event you want everyone to know about? You can send press releases on any subject to news@WGXE.org, where they will be shared with all WGXE reporters, hosts, and programmers. Anyone can also add an event to the WGXE calendar online at WGXE.org/event. Just go to WGXE.org/events and click on the Add an Event button at the top of the page and type in the information about your event. WGXE announcers read these events on the air throughout the day, and internet readers can access them anytime. So please let WGXE listeners know when you're making news or when you have an event to share with your community.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the-
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, February 1st. A demanding agenda faced the ARRL Board of Directors when it convened for its annual meeting January 18th and 19th. Several new faces were around the table, with 4 newly elected ARRL directors, 1 newly elected vice director, and 1 recently appointed vice director. Attending for their first meeting as board members were Hudson Division Director Rhea Jiram, N2RJ, New England Division Director Fred Hopengarten, K1VR, Northwestern Division Director Mike Ritz, W7VO, and Roanoke Division Director George Bud Hippisley, W2RU. Also present were Northwestern Division Vice Director Mark Tharp, KB7HDX, and Rocky Mountain Division Vice Director Robert Wareham, N0ESQ, who was appointed last fall to fill a vacancy. On a voice vote, the board authorized $485,000 to fund a project carried out by Connecticut media and advertising consultants Minson Hoke to develop lifelong learning strategies and programs aimed at attracting and retaining ARRL members, especially newly licensed radio amateurs. The board adopted an ARES plan as recommended by the Programs and Services Committee. Committee Chair Dale Williams said the ARES plan will establish training programs and 3 levels of ARES membership. The board received the report of ARRL CEO Howard Mickle, WB2ITX, who outlined plans to reorganize and refocus the activities at ARRL headquarters. Mickle said providing better value to membership is a top priority, and he sees value creation and value delivery as key components to long-term membership retention and growth. The board repealed the ARRL policy on board governance and conduct of members of the board of directors and vice directors, commonly known as the Code of Conduct, on an 11-3 vote with 1 abstention. As already announced, the board withdrew, without prejudice to refiling, ARRL's December 18, 2018 petition for rulemaking to the FCC, which sought to amend the Part 97 Amateur Service Rules to incorporate the provisions of the Amateur Radio Parity Act, or ARPA. The board said that ARRL needs to review, re-examine, and reappraise ARRL's regulatory and legislative policy with regard to private land use restrictions. For those just getting started on their amateur radio journey, the podcast So Now What will launch on Thursday, March 7th, and new episodes will be posted every other Thursday, alternating new episode weeks with the ARRL The Doctor Is In podcast. Co-hosting So Now What will be ARRL Communications Content Producer Michelle Patnode, W3MVP, and ARRL Station Manager Joe Karsha, NJ1Q. Presented as a lively conversation, with Patnode representing newer hams and Karsha the veteran operators, the podcast will explore questions that newer hams may have and the issues that keep participants from staying active in the hobby. Some episodes will feature guests to answer questions on specific topic areas. Topics to be discussed in the first several episodes include getting started, operating modes available to technician licensees, VEC and licensing issues, sunspots and propagation, mobile operating, contesting, amateur radio and pop culture, and perceptions of technician license holders. Given the growing popularity of podcasts, ISGR believes that providing this information in a podcast format will be a very effective method of reaching out and engaging this particular part of the amateur radio community, which is important for building and maintaining amateur radio interest and activity. Listeners will be able to find the So Now What podcast on Apple iTunes, Blueberry, or Stitcher, free registration required, or browse the site as a guest, and through the free Stitcher app for iOS, Kindle, or Android devices, or wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes will also be archived on the ARRL website. Some of the enthusiasm engendered by youngsters on the air, known simply as Yoda, has spilled over into IARU Region 2. A group of a half dozen young radio operators, calling itself Team Exuberance, will visit the contest superstation of Tim Duffy, K3LR, in late March for the CQ Worldwide WPX SSB event. The team was inspired in part by Yoda's youth contesting program in Europe, which arranges for youthful IARU Region 1 members to participate in contests from Top Gun stations. Last year's YCP station hosts included ES5TV, 9A1A, EC2DX, 403A, and DM9EE, with more YCP events planned for 2019.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Origami Sat 1 is now known as Fuji Oscar 98 or FO98, and Nexus, which launched at the same time, has been granted Fuji Oscar 99 or FO99. I spoke of maybe upgrading your station to receive the 5.8 GHz downlink from Origami Sat 1 or FO98. This is a bit more of a challenge than you might think. First of all, you have to have a 2-foot or 3-foot dish. You're going to have to keep it pointed at the satellite while correcting for Doppler. Doppler in this case at such a high frequency can be a bit over 100 kilohertz. Then, with a short footprint of say 10 to 15 minutes, you really have to be spot on with all your equipment in order to receive the downlink. Think you're up to the challenge? It is worth giving it a shot if you're into microwaves. To make it even more of a challenge, it transmits for 5 seconds and is off for 10 seconds. We mentioned how 8085 has battery issues. The satellite has been placed in transponder mode and may switch in and out of safe mode. Please keep your power down if you're going to use a satellite in order to preserve the batteries as much as possible. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
This is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, February 1st. We have a small sunspot that'll be sliding out of view within the next few days, and it's been tossing out a few solar flares. As a result, the solar flux index has edged up to about 74, and there have been some reports of significant band openings on 15 meters. Better enjoy it while you can. We're also entering a stream of solar particles thanks to a big hole in the sun's atmosphere, so expect some geomagnetic disruptions over the next several days or so. On VHF and UHF, all that dry Arctic air has really shut down the tropospheric band openings throughout the country, with one exception, the coasts of Oregon and Washington.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
And that was Jamie Saft, Steve Swallow, and local drummer and composer Bobby Previtt with Stable Manifold from their 2019 album, You Don't Know the Life.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to stars and stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio, WGXC.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@wgxc.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@wgxc.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors.
Hello, this is Rob Gellis with the February edition of This Month in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and more that occur this month either in the near or distant past. On February 11th, 1990, Nelson Mandela was released after serving 27 years in prison for his efforts to end apartheid in South Africa. 4 years later, Mandela was elected president of South Africa, ending white rule. On February 15, 1898, the U.S. battleship Maine was blown up in Havana Harbor. The incident created a crisis between the United States and Spain. It led to a war between the two countries. On February 19, 1942, President Franklin Roosevelt issued an executive order that required all Japanese Americans living on the West Coast to report for relocation. Over 110,000 people of Japanese heritage were sent to detention camps in the Southwest during the course of World War II. On February 22, 1732, George Washington was born. Washington served as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army in the American Revolution and later as our first president. On February 24, 1867, the United States House of Representatives voted to impeach President Andrew Johnson. However, the effort to remove him from office by the Senate failed by one vote. On February 28, 2013, Benedict XVI resigned as Pope. He was the first Pope to resign since Gregory XII in 1415. You have been listening to This Month in History, a monthly broadcast of historic events on WGXC 90.7 FM. If you have an event that you would like to hear included in This Month in History, email me, Rob Gellis, at info@wgxc.org.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-WGXC. 1-800-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
Your day and night, it's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world would be so very fine. So happy together. I can see
what's up, y'all? This is Sean Ardoin with Sean Ardoin and Zotti Cool. You with DJ Neva at Music for the Masses on WGXC. Y'all, you got it going on. Don't even realize it. Woo!
Tune in radio for open ears Monday, February 4th. On the WGXC Morning Show, we'll listen into excerpts of Representative Antonio Delgado's third town hall meeting that he held February 2nd. In Sullivan County. That's at 9 a.m. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is in with the morning sampler. After the new news, Lincoln Mayorga is in with the Monday musical matinee. At 2 p.m., the Vital Weekly show looks at experimental new music from around the world. Christina Kubisch is one of the composers in today's edition. At 3 p.m. here, radio art from Gregory Whitehead, his The Pleasure of Ruins. And tune in at 7 p.m. for Democracy Now! With international news from Amy Goodman on the radio at WGXC.org and 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to health care and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Amanda Fries reports in the Albany Times-Union that Albany County correction officers are getting body cameras from a grant from the State Attorney General's office. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple says the grant for the 43 cameras has been in the works for 2 years. Last month, Albany County was included in a federal lawsuit that alleged that guards at the Albany County Jail abused inmates sent there from Rikers Island. Apple says the sheriff's department will take asset forfeiture funds and buy 140 more cameras. Corrections officers in the jail, as well as deputies out in the public, and EMTs and paramedics will all get body cameras. Quote, "We'll be the first correctional facility in this area," unquote, employing body-worn cameras, Apple said. Quote, "There are a couple county jails that are using them that are much smaller, so our rollout is a much heavier lift, but it's time, and my focus is on the jail. I'm anxious to get it in place," unquote. Total cost to taxpayers, $420,000. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. Ariel Zangla reports in the Daily Freeman that Representative Antonio Delgado will bring Hoosick Falls resident Michael Hickey as his guest to the State of the Union February 5th at the Capitol. Hickey lost his father due to polyfluorocarbol, or PFAS, substances that had contaminated the local water supply from industrial plants in Rensselaer County. Hickey has filed a federal class action lawsuit against St. Gobain Performance Plastics and Honeywell International, the two companies blamed for the contamination in the Hoosick Falls water system. Delgado is a founding member of the Congressional PFAS Task Force and co-sponsored the PFAS Action Act that would designate all PFAS under the Superfund program. Delgado was looking forward to the State of the Union speech. Quote, "I hope to hear the desire to find some common ground," unquote, he said of the president. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Daniel Zuckerman reports for Columbia Green Media that the town of Athens may take over the Athens Community Center from the village. The village board may adopt a resolution saying that turning over the building to the town is in the best financial interest of village residents. Athens residents can comment on the proposal at a public hearing at 6:30 p.m. February 13th that may be held at the Athens Volunteer Fire Department. Quote, "Hopefully there won't be too much opposition," unquote, Mayor Peter Alberti said. Quote, "I would really like to make a resolution to pass and turn it over," unquote. The town wants to turn the bathroom on the first floor into an elevator, move town court to the first floor and the town office to the second floor. The village will also keep its offices in the building, and the community center gym will continue to be used most evenings. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Governor Andrew Cuomo warned New Yorkers February 1st that warmer temperatures forecast beginning February 4th may cause ice jam flooding. Quote, "Following a week of severe winter weather, temperatures are now expected to rise dramatically and create the potential for flooding, especially from ice jams," unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, "State agencies have already been in contact with local governments throughout the state to monitor flood-prone areas and assist with any problems that may arise. That said, it is also critical for residents to stay informed, monitor the weather, and take the necessary precautions to protect themselves, their families, and their homes," unquote. Ice obstructions could cause flooding on small streams and rivers as temperatures warm this week above 40 degrees or higher. Rain showers and snow melt will add to the possibility of flooding. This has been Tom Rowe for the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you heard here.
Do you have some news to share with WGXC listeners or a special community event you want everyone to know about? You can send press releases on any subject to news@WGXC.org, where they will be shared with all WGXC reporters, hosts, and programmers. Anyone can also add an event to the WGXE calendar online at wgxe.org/event. Just go to wgxe.org/events and click on the Add an Event button at the top of the page and type in the information about your event. WGXE announcers read these events on the air throughout the day, and internet readers can access them anytime. So please let WGXE listeners know when you're making news or when you have an event to share with your community.
Here's the week in news for the 19th Congressional District and Representative Antonio Delgado, a Democrat from Rhinebeck. The website 538.com reports that so far Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions 0% of the time. Delgado voted with mostly other Democrats on a measure January 30th, quote, expressing the sense of the House of Representatives that government shutdowns are detrimental to the nation and should not occur, unquote, that passed 249 to 163. Delgado also voted January 30th for the Federal Civilian Workforce Pay Raise Fairness Act that would give federal employees a 2.6% pay increase to match the raise given to the military for 2019. It passed 259 to 161. And on January 28th, he voted for the Fight Illicit Networks and Detect Trafficking Act, which passed 412 to 3.
Jack Howland reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that Representative Antonio Delgado, the Democrat from Rhinebeck, representing New York's 19th Congressional District, said the budget deal to end the longest shutdown in United States history is only a, and I quote, temporary fix, end quote. Delgado, in Pine Plains, holding his second town hall meeting since taking office, said he will call for hearings to see if there were any, and I quote, lapses or delays that affected people's lives, end quote, from the shutdown. President Trump has agreed to a budget deal with congressional Republicans and Democrats, then pulled out of that deal in December, demanding $5.7 billion for a border wall he once claimed Mexico would pay for. Trump on January 25th agreed to reopen the government for a few weeks without any wall funding. Delgado said, and I quote, "We certainly need to work on border security. We should be able to have that debate without putting us through what we just had to go through for 35 days, end quote. At the town meeting, Delgado also said he wanted to bring Chatham Police Chief Peter Volkman to Washington, D.C. to testify about the Chatham Cares for You Outreach Initiative Drug Addiction Program. WGXC has audio recordings of the complete town hall meeting in the WGXC audio archives online at WGXC.org. And you can read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Representative Antonio Delgado, the Democrat of Rhinebeck, announced January 29th that he is joining the bipartisan Congressional Lyme Disease Caucus. The Democrat representing the 19th Congressional District said, and I quote, "The prevalence of Lyme disease in upstate New York requires significant bipartisan action, and I'm proud to be joining the Lyme Disease Caucus. I look forward to working with leaders on this issue in upstate New York, as well as my fellow members of Congress, to advance federal support for how doctors treat it and how we decrease environmental risk. Indeed, the National Science Foundation has declared Lyme disease an emerging global pandemic due to climate change," end quote. Annie Snyder is reporting for Politico that the Trump administration will not set a drinking water limit for PFOA and PFOS, toxic chemicals that are contaminating millions of Americans' tap water. Chemicals have been linked to kidney and testicular cancer, hypertension, and other ailments. In response to the decision, U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado said in a statement, and I quote, "I have seen personally the damaging effects of PFOA in Hoosick Falls and Petersburg and talked to families who lost loved ones from cancer caused by contaminated drinking water. In light of the emerging evidence on the danger and devastation PFOA causes, it would be unconscionable for the EPA not to limit levels of these chemicals in our communities. The EPA must take the issue of water contamination seriously, and I will do everything in my power to step up efforts to address this growing crisis," end quote. The decision comes less than a year after the White House and the Environmental Protection Agency faced criticism for delaying the publication of a health study on the chemicals. The EPA's decision means the chemicals will remain unregulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act, and utilities will face no federal requirements for testing for and removing the chemicals from drinking water supplies. However, several states have pursued and are pursuing their own limits on the chemicals. EPA-mandated tests have found PFOA and PFOS at unsafe levels in at least 16 million Americans' tap water, but activists say the problem is even more widespread. While EPA has decided against a drinking water limit on PFOA and PFOS, the draft chemical plan includes a decision to list the contaminants as hazardous under the Superfund law, a move that would help force polluters to pay for the cleanup. At present, the agency's action plan is undergoing an interagency review, according to an EPA spokesperson. Read the full story at Politico.com. On January 30th, Antonio Delgado, the Democrat of Rhinebeck, revealed a campaign finance reform bill requiring additional publicly available disclosures for lobbyists funding political ads or other political activities. Delgado's second legislative effort will be tucked in the H.R. 1 government reform bill. Delgado said in a press release, and I quote, "We must take power away from special interest and put it into the hands of the people, and we can do that through shining a light on dark money and reducing the grip that lobbyists hold over elected officials. Linking lobbyist disclosures and campaign finance reports allows people to know who is influencing their elected officials and should help ensure that our elected officials are only beholden to their constituents," end quote. Delgado's CLEAR Act would require election reports filed by political committees to clearly indicate when a contributor is a registered lobbyist, make registered lobbyist contributions clear in election reports, and require lobbyist disclosure reports to be linked to one website easily accessible to the public.
On January 29th, Delgado spoke on the House floor against another government shutdown.
"Today, I rise pleased that the government is reopened and determined to not repeat ourselves in 3 weeks. A poll taken last weekend found that 6 in 10 Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction, and nearly 70% have negative opinions on the state of the nation. These findings are grim, but can anyone in this chamber blame our fellow citizens for their skepticism? The longest shutdown in American history wrought fear, confusion, and financial harm on upstate New York and our entire country. $11 billion worth of economic loss, according to the CBO. And here's what that looked like back home in upstate New York. The Small Business Administration stopped processing new loans to potential small business owners, slowing the engine of American enterprise. The FDA stopped routine food safety inspections, putting Americans at risk at their own dinner tables. The Department of Agriculture stopped administering farm support programs, which include subsidized home loans and tariff relief payments, putting additional financial stress on farmers in upstate New York already suffering from our nation's ill-conceived trade wars. The Department of Housing and Urban Development stopped processing mortgage extensions or housing loans, leaving 100,000 rural homeowners at risk of eviction. The EPA suspended cleanup efforts at Superfund pollution sites, including in places like Hoosick Falls, with poisoned groundwater. When the shutdown began, the EPA stopped returning calls from the New York Department of Environmental Conservation. I held 2 town halls during the shutdown and opened up our phone lines on weekends in order to remain accessible to those in my district who need an advocate in Washington. I heard from constituent after constituent about the negative repercussions of the shutdown. I heard from store owners who couldn't accept EBT cards because their SNAP vendor license expired with no possibility of renewal. I heard from federal employers, more than 4,200 of whom I am proud to represent in Congress, who worried about losing their dental and vision insurance. I met with members of the U.S. Coast Guard, the only military personnel that went without pay during the shutdown. And I heard from small business owners, more than 27,000 of whom live in my district, about the effect of the shutdown on their bottom lines. All of it for what purpose? From day one, I joined my colleagues in vote after vote to reopen the government on a bipartisan basis. It is incumbent on Congress to ensure that the government remains open when the current spending package expires on February 15th. The border wall is a monument to division that, according to experts, is ineffective and wasteful. Holding the government hostage over it was wrong. Indeed, not a single member of the House body, Democrat or Republican, representing a border district is for the construction of a wall. When discussing the need for improved border security, we must move past fear-driven partisan politics that seek only to divide us and paralyze our democracy. Moreover, we cannot allow ourselves to fall short of our constitutional obligations as members of Congress. Let us not forget that our founding fathers began with the legislative body in Article 1. This is the one body that represents the will of the people legislatively. Our work should not be contingent upon the whims and desires of another branch of government meant to only execute the laws our body is obliged to legislate. This is not how to preserve a democratic order anchored in the separation of powers and sustained by healthy checks and balances. To be clear, now is not the time to run away from our responsibility as a co-equal branch of government. Democrats and Republicans alike need to come together and have an evidence-based and transparent debate on the question of border security, have a vote, and then send legislation to the president. It shouldn't take a costly shutdown and a threat of another looming one in order to accomplish this. As members of both parties from both houses begin budget negotiations and a conference committee, I ask that they remember the hardships endured in recent weeks, not only by the federal employees who went without pay in upstate New York, but also by business owners, farmers, and so many others in our region who were harmed because of the ripple effects of the shutdown. The government must not close again. My district and our country can't afford another shutdown. It is our collective responsibility to ensure we do not find ourselves on February 15th at the start of yet another shutdown. In short, I urge this body to do as envisioned by our founding fathers, get to work and do our job. And with that, I yield back my time.
Delgado holds his third town hall meeting at 3 p.m. February 2nd in Sullivan County and opens his Delhi office at noon February 4th.
Honey, did you know the Rolf Jansen Community Library serves Ankrum, Copake, and Hillsdale?
As a matter of fact, I did know that. Ask me another.
Did you know that the Rojan Library has thousands of books, audiobooks, DVDs, and music CDs you can enjoy for free?
Yep, I knew that too.
Did you know that the Rojan Library puts on dozens of special programs like concerts and lectures, story time for kids, and seminars on computer skills and estate planning?
Uh-huh.
Well, Smarty Pants, is there anything about the Rojan Library you don't know?
Yeah, how do they get all that great stuff done with just three employees?
It's all about the volunteers. The library depends on volunteers for everything from working the circulation desk to staffing special events. They can always use more help.
Sounds like fun. How can I become a volunteer?
Just go to the library's website at rojanlibrary.org and click on the volunteer tab.
Hey, I knew that.
Sure you did.
En la Biblioteca Pública de Catskill, nos gusta mucho tener programas del equipo de WGXC viniendo de la biblioteca desde el cuarto Carnegie. Para información en cómo utilizar el espacio para una reunión suya, llame por favor 518-943-4230.
You know, it's sounds much fun to write political songs anymore.
Stop knowing.
It's going to stop going so crazy, you just don't want to sing about it. But they did say that Mussolini said the best way to kill a chicken is to pluck it one feather at a time. Hop in the truck, let's go to Hudson. Just to check the sights and see. People here from the city and their newest gadgetries. Guys are scrolling on their iPhone. Ladies strolling down the street. Wonder Bar for beer and whiskey. Work our way down Warren Street. Spotty dogs at books and art supplies. I'm reading, drinking at the bar. Drinking pints, I'm kind of hammered. I left the place to find your car. Later on, we're at High Low. Make me something special. Can't seem to make this whole thing start. Later on, I'm at the red dot. elbow my way up to the bar. Cassandra, make me something special. Can't seem to make this whole thing start. Now we're out laughing in the alleys. I guess we are just who we are. We trip, we slip, we fall, we stumble. Don't know why, but here we are. Now we're out laughing in the alleys. I guess we are just who we are. We trip, we slip, we fall, we stumble. Dropouts from the stars. We're out laughing in the alleys. I guess we are just who we are. We trip, we slip, we fall, we stumble. Don't know why, but
that was local artist Chris Neumann performing at High Low in Catskill on February 2nd, 2019. That was Catskill's Amy Rigby with The President Can't Read, a 2019 release.
Oh, that's where I was talking about gifts. I don't want gifts. You know what I want from people? You go ahead, Ellen. Take your little break. Your little break. I want you to become a sustaining supporter of WGXC. That would be a gift to me. How do you like that? If you were planning on giving me a gift, and I know there's many of you out there who are, because I remember last year where people were sending in baskets of good cheer and all that stuff.
Where was I?
Well, I didn't tell you about it because I didn't want to share it. I'd rather you not spend your money on that. I'd rather you go to wgxc.org/donate and become a sustaining supporter. Now, this is the new model that I noticed a lot of places are starting to do because it makes planning a lot easier, you know, and it takes the burden off of those pledge drives, which can go on forever and just drain everyone. Even though they're necessary, they can be very draining and everybody gets discouraged or encouraged. You know, it depends on how it goes. You never know. But in the meantime, becoming a sustaining supporter, and I'm one, Ellen's one, and it means planning and allocating the resources here becomes much easier if you know what you have or can expect every month. And it's a simple process. You put in your credit card number, and they let you know every month that you're going to be, the payment's going to be made out of your credit card. And, you know, you can change it, you can up it, you can stop it, you can do all kinds of things. You don't, you know, they let you know, so it doesn't just keep going on regardless of, you know, without reminding you. And it's really a wonderful way to give because, it you know, when you don't see money, you don't think about it as much. Well, maybe. You will get that reminder, which reminds you that, you know, we're taking some money out of your credit card. But that's okay because, you know, it's not like cash in your pocket that we're grabbing out of your pocket. Well, it is kind of, but just metaphorically. In any case.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.